Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, if you never saw Torrey Holt play, it's called YouTube. He won a Super Bowl back in 99 with the greatest show on turf. It was called the Rams. It was really ahead of its time. He's a Super Bowl champ, 11 years, seven-time Pro Bowler. And the Chiefs last year and the year before, well, we saw that. It was called the Rams, and you were part of that. And by the way, Torrey and his brother Terrence started the Holt Brothers Foundation to deliver on their promise to help kids who have parents and guardians with cancer. Torrey's always been known as complete class, lives in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. So the Odell Beckham thing is interesting. Randy Moss was with the Raiders, and everybody said, he's cooked. And then he goes to New England, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And everybody said, Odell, oh, he's washed. And sometimes, Torrey, guys don't fit.
Yep.
It could be scheme. It could be organization.
Yep.
I never thought he was working. The data said with he and Baker, it didn't work. I'm not blaming anybody. But I watch him, and I watched his dad 11-minute video.
Yeah, I did too.
And he's open a lot. So you tell me, what's he have left? What do you see? Do you see the twitchiness? Do you see something there with OBJ?
Yeah, I do. I think Odell still has a lot of good football in front of him. You know, coming off that injury, he may have lost maybe some explosive, maybe not. But just watching him, there may be a little loss there. But I think he has a ton of ability to play. You got to be when I watch him, and just as you said, you watch him. When I watch, he just doesn't look enthused, excited to be there. And you have to be in a good space in the National Football League if you're going to play at a very, very high level. And so that's kind of what I see too with Odell. And then they have to continue. They have to be more intentional on getting him the football.
Now, explain that. That's right.
And so when they come out of the huddle, the ball, the first read is to go to Odell Beckham right off the gate. That's being intentional when you want to get your best receiver or one of your best receivers the football. When you look at the L.A. Rams, they're intentional about getting Cooper Kupp the football. There's 13, 15, 16, 17 targets that he has an opportunity to make a play. So I'm not saying that Odell gets that many of targets, but you got to be intentional in getting him the football. Then we'll see what happens after he get the ball. We'll see how alive he becomes once he gets the football. We just don't know that because he's not getting it enough. And now Odell has had his fair share of drops as well.
Yes, he has.
True, right? But I think if it's in Cleveland or if it's somewhere else and you bring him in, be intentional on getting him the football if you believe that he can still play at that level.
You know, I'll throw this out. Odell, as we said earlier, he runs a little hot.
Yeah.
T.O. ran a little hot.
Yeah.
Wide receivers.
We can run a little hot.
But
because we want the ball.
That's right.
And we want you to be intentional on getting us the ball. If I feel as I'm one of the better receivers on your squad.
Well, you're the best athlete on the offense is almost always.
Get me the ball.
That's right. So it's interesting. If you go back to LSU, when Odell was there, there was no chaos. He was excellent. When you went to New York early with Coughlin, there was no chaos. He was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Giants at the end, there was more chaos. Eli's eroding the coaching situation. He struggled. He goes to Cleveland. 24/7 chaos. I'll just throw this out there. Is that Odell runs a little hot. He is in a situation like a New England or the Rams could be a much different player than those chaotic last few years. And what I'm saying is you're a very mature guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Larry Fitzgerald could run the league. Some of these guys, you put a little chaos around him, it doesn't jive with them. It's not they don't like it. And I just say that. I do look at Odell and I think there have been times in his career where he just went out and was productive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the last few years in New York, and Cleveland, maybe he needs to go back to a better structure.
Yeah, and that helps. That it really does, Colin. When you are in a place where there's structure, there's good examples daily on both sides of the football, where there is intent on winning, you can win, you are winning, it just changes the way that you come to work. Von Miller said it. I went to bed 4-4. I woke up 7-1. You telling me he's not motivated to play? Absolutely he is. He knows he's coming into a winning situation. He's coming into a winning culture. He's coming into a culture that's where expectations are high. But guys on the team are meeting those expectations. That's a different feel, man. And Odell is a high-level player. He can play at a very, very high level.
So you played 10 years with the Rams, I think a year with the Jags.
And a year with the Jags.
Okay, so so life's not linear, right? Like, was there ever a year for you? There's a little chaos at the offensive coordinator or something. And you know, now you're a stable guy, right? Like, it, but did you ever have a year where you're like, man, I'm just driving to work doesn't feel the same? I mean, seriously, yeah. Greg Jennings told me when he went from the Packers to Miami, he knew in an hour. It's like, this is not the same atmosphere.
I had those moments in St. Louis, absolutely. I was at the peak in St. Louis, and I also was at the low in St. Louis. But it was still my responsibility to come to work every day. It's still my responsibility to try to lead by example. If I want to change what is happening, it has to start with me. And so that was my mentality. So though we did not have winning years, a lot of years, I still wanted to make sure that I was performing and doing my job. And hopefully that would encourage and inspire others to do theirs. That's the way that I looked at it.
Yeah. So you played, obviously, with Kurt Warner, and he changed everything there. And Matt Stafford goes losing culture to winning culture.
We changed everything there.
That's right. My bad.
No worries.
Hold me accountable.
No worries.
Are you surprised, Stafford? It day one, week one?
Not at all.
This fast?
Not at all.
Why?
Matthew Stafford is so smart. And when I watch him at the house in games, and the way he gets up to the line of scrimmage and he gets them in and out of plays quickly, and then the play actually works, he's seeing things happen before they do. He knows what that winning play is to get them in. It's fantastic. And then he's also playing with guys, again, that have the same mindset that he has, that is working to be great, working to want to be a champion. That is who he's now with. And when you're playing with players like that, your talents are even more expressive. The players that you're playing with, talents are even more expressive because you have guys that are thinking the same. Their intent when they go out to practice is to be better at what they're doing. There's a level of maturity and seriousness that comes, I think, comes with Matthew Stafford, as well as Kupp and Robert Woods and Andre
Whitworth. That's a good point, Whitworth.
There's a lot of guys.
These are grown-ups.
These are grown-ups. These guys, they've been to the Super Bowl, and they certainly want to get back, and they know what it takes, Colin, to get there. Matthew Stafford, to me, fits right in.
You know, it's really interesting you say that. Stafford's very serious. Whitworth, we put him on the show, very serious. Aaron Donald, very serious.
Yeah.
Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp.
Pros.
By the way, Jalen Ramsey, you were a little squirrely at times. He comes in.
You know why?
Why?
Because when you come in that locker room and you got number 99 sitting in there every day, who's the best player in the room, best player in the league, and he's serious, and he's focused, and ain't no BS with him a lot. I'm sure these guys have their fun.
Oh, sure.
But when it comes to their work, Aaron Donald's one that sets the tone. You have to buy in. If you're going to be there, and we all come into the National Football League with hopes to get to a championship, be part of a champion, you better fall in line.
So the Chiefs, you were an earlier version of the Chiefs where you looked different. You had different plays. You were faster. Mm-hmm. You were a nightmare. But Kansas City now is just, it's not quite right. They don't have Sammy Watkins. People now don't let Tyreek get over the top.
Yeah.
They're bracketing Kelsey. You know, I kind of bristle at people have figured them out. I don't think you figure out talent. Nobody's figured out Tyreek Hill. But were there ever moments with the Rams, people didn't figure you out, but again, life's not linear, that there were stretches where you're like, okay, this coverage now, we're struggling with it.
Yeah.
Did it just always grow and never stop?
No. There was times within my tenure there in St. Louis when we were really good, where we had our lulls as an offense, where things just were not clicking. For whatever reason, it's, you know, batters don't always bat well. They go into slumps. It happens. I think it's part of the game. But the thing that you have to do, though, is you have to keep working at what got you to that point. And with Kansas City, there's talks about the offensive line not being as good as it once
was.
It's
new. Yeah.
You know? And so now Patrick Mahomes is not as settled and comfortable in the pocket. Maybe he's not going through his reads as comfortable and fluid as he once was because he knows he has to make a play before he gets
has half sacked. Second left to throw.
You know, the backyard football that we've been that we've loved from the Kansas City Chiefs over the last couple of years is not quite there. They're not making those when he scrambles out, what I mean backyard, when he scrambles out, he throws it across his.
By the way, Torrey, we also have seen a lot of their tricks.
Yes.
On tape. By the way, other teams are using the tricks.
No doubt. No doubt. So teams do have a better feel for what they're doing. But when you watched them the other night when they came out in that game, offensively, they were very efficient, moving the ball down the field. I mean, against the Giants. I mean, they were sharp. But they were locked in to be sharp. The thing with Kansas City, and I'm sure Andy and the staff said, is, guys, we got to be for four quarters just as we were in that first and second quarter of that Giants game. Meaning we have to continue to be efficient, play fast, you know, be smart about what we're doing, play good football. The Chiefs are not playing clean football, Colin.
Not clean at all.
Not at all. They're turning the football over. So it's hard for an offense to get in any kind of rhythm or get any sense of continuity when you're not playing clean, when you're constantly turning the football over, when you're not converting on third downs. One of the things Sean McVay, I'm sure, loved about last week against the Houston Texans was the 12, the 13, the 14 plays that they were able to get, because you're now able to establish a rhythm. You're able to now establish the game. You're now able to put your imprint on how the defense is going to respond. And Kansas City is not in that space right now, as much as they would like.
Haven't gotten into the Hall of Fame yet. Do you ever feel you're being punished because you were part of such a great collective? Because there were so many pieces?
I felt that way at times. But I was part of the piece. You know, I was part of what we accomplished. And not only a part of it, play a huge role in.
You were 7-8-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, you know, 7,000, 1,300-yard seasons, all decade. I mean, I was, you know, I played six overall. So it wasn't like I was drafted sixth round or free agent and, oh, we got this great story. No, I was drafted sixth overall. So what comes with that is expectations. What comes with that is Hall of Fame-like ability. And I think I was able to exceed a lot of that.
Well, in fact, I saw a stat this morning. You had 8 straight years with 1,000-plus receiving yards. By the way, the league wasn't the league it is now. Corners could grab you.
Right, exactly.
I was getting punished.
I got punished.
Oh, I know.
Several times.
You're also a college football Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You're pretty good.
Thank you, man. I mean, I love football, man. I love everything about the game. I like where the game is now.
By the way, you averaged almost 80 yards receiving a game. That's 7th most in league history.
Yeah.
And again, what people don't talk about this. You could grab a wide receiver. You had to put receivers in motion so they could get off the line.
Correct.
You could be grabbed.
Yeah.
You could be grabbed and wrestled.
That's right.
People just forget. Like, it's a totally different league.
You had guys like Willie McGinnis, who's 6'5", 275, 80 pounds, that can literally jam you to the ground. You had guys like Julian Peterson, who played with the 49ers, 6'3", linebackers with whatever wingspan, I mean, crazy wingspan that would line up over top of you and jam you to the ground. You had guys like teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the true definition of a Tampa 2 cover 2 defense that would knock your socks off if you were in their zone and wasn't paying attention. So it was a different game,
more
violent. But I'm glad I played in that era because I grew up quickly and I had to be tough. Certainly had to be tough to play in that era.
Are you a tough guy now? Tough?
I'm a little more chill now.
Yeah,
I'm older. I don't have to be as tough. But football, you got football. You can't play weak.
This happens though, when like Tony Kukoc. I've said this before for the Bulls, because the Bulls had so many great players that Tony Kukoc gets lost. He was the best European player on the planet.
Yeah,
and he was a great player. But the stories are so legendary that Pippen and Jordan beat him up. Well, yeah, they were better. Tony Kukoc for like a decade. Tony Kukoc was a great player.
Yeah.
18-point-a-game guy, but Rodman and Phil and Michael.
Correct.
And Scotty. So when you play in these great collectives, there's always a guy that gets like, well, he was good, but if you put Tony Kukoc on those awful Maverick teams, he averages, Chris Bosh averaged 27 a game for the Raptors. Nobody pays attention to it.
Yep.
I always said Bosh could have been a 30-point-a-game
guy. No question,
guy.
Absolutely.
Cut it in half, go play with LeBron and D-Wade.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm
and
I'm
play with others, and you spread the wealth, and you spread the responsibility, and more importantly, I still had to do my job. Though I was playing with those other great players, I still had to do my job. Not only I had to do it at a very high level in order for us to have that success. And again, Colin, I think I did that for over a decade.
You did. Torrey Holt, great seeing you, man.
Good seeing you, brother. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I love having you on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, let's talk about another Rams receiver that deserves a little credit. Who? Cooper Kupp, having an unbelievable start to the season.
Okay, why is he always so open? Like, I get open, but when I watch them, I'm always like, okay, there's nobody within 8 yards. You know they're going to throw to him 14 times a game.
Well, through his first 8 games, he leads the league with 924 receiving yards.
Look at that. How is he that open?
He's really good.
He's 6'2", y'all.
He's 6'2",
and
can run.
He can run. Pretty athletic.
He has 10 receiving touchdowns. Coop is just the fifth player to have at least 900 receiving yards and 10 receiving touchdowns in the first 8 games in NFL history. And he's the first to do it in the Super Bowl era. So he is on pace to finish with 133 receptions, 1,963 yards, and 21 touchdowns. He's 1 yard shy of the NFL single-season receiving record set by Calvin Johnson recently inducted into the Hall of Fame, fifth most receptions in a single season in NFL history, and the third most receiving touchdowns in a single season in NFL history. So he is on pace for an incredible season.
Yeah.
And deserves a little credit because we don't really ever talk about Cooper Kupp. We talk about a lot of...
Well, McVay gets a lot of the credit. First of all, Stafford now comes
in. Is that a Rams thing? Because we're just talking about that.
I think a lot of it, McVay is a high-profile coach. Stafford was a huge acquisition.
Yeah.
And so, and Aaron Donald, and they've got... So all of a sudden he comes in, and it's like the Torrey Holt argument, is that we don't give Cooper Kupp a lot of credit because the coach is high profile, the quarterback is high, and so we think, well, they got Cooper Kupp right now is unguardable.
It is the arguments for being consistent. If you are non-problematic and kind of just quiet and come and do your job and you are consistently great...
We don't talk about you.
But it happens in a lot of places. Like, you sometimes at work, you're just doing a great job, and you always do a great job, and you've always been a great employee, and you always do the right thing. It's like your boss doesn't pay attention to you because it's like, oh, like I can rely on them. But then you don't get considered and put into the conversations because you're always consistent.
This is the argument I made about Alex English of the Denver Nuggets not making the NBA 75 team. He's 20th in scoring. He led the 80s in scoring. But Alex English gave you a quiet 27 a night, never brought attention to himself. Fat Lever on the team was more dynamic. Dan Issel made a lot of noise. And Alex English led the 80s in scoring.
The decade.
A decade. And didn't make the team. And so sometimes when you're part of a talented collective, you're the quiet guy. You're not out there, or your style, like the NBA tends to be flamboyant, and Dr. J and And Alex just walks up and gives you 27 a night in Denver, and nobody pays attention to him.
Well, the Jets will start Mike White for the second straight game tonight when they take on the Colts.
Woo!
He had a really impressive performance against
the
Bengals.
Brilliant.
And some have questioned whether he should keep the starting job.
Yep,
some call him coward.
Some have.
When Zach Wilson returns. But GM Joe Douglas says they're not making any long-term decisions at that position right now.
At this point, we're positive vibes only, and we've got a tough assignment this week in terms of Indianapolis. So that's our only focus, getting Mike ready for Indianapolis and trying to beat a very tough opponent on the road on a short week. That is our primary focus, and I'm in lockstep with the coach, and we'll anything other than that, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Well, the Colts are favored by 10 tonight.
Yeah, the Colts will win.
According to
The Colts basically butchered. I thought last week was the season for the Colts. Now that Derrick Henry's out, that may have been a little bit of a life preserver that Tennessee is not as viable for 6 weeks.
But Tennessee's beaten them twice.
I know.
So the division is...
But Tennessee was playing well. They'd beaten the Bills. And now Tennessee doesn't quite feel as good. So did they get a little bit of a break where Tennessee's 500 the rest of the way? And the Colts schedule, which we talked about, is not very good for the next 2 months. So, Colts will win tonight.
I think the Colts will win tonight as well. But it is insane what Mike White did last week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it's interesting, and everyone is asking what's going to happen, yourself included. If they get the win tonight,
and he looks good,
do you start having the conversation about whether you put Zach Wilson back out there? I think you do, but. As Joe Douglas just said, they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. But it's an interesting game tonight. So Dame is very open that he is going to stay with the Blazers, but he was also very open that he had some frustrations. And he ultimately reaffirmed that he was going to stay there. But according to Chris Haynes, Lillard had a long lunch with LeBron and Anthony Davis where they spoke about their experiences living in L.A. and the three stars discussed their playoff losses and what they thought their respective teams needed But Lillard also made it clear he was very hesitant to join any sort of super team. Haynes reported that Lillard did not consider the meeting a recruitment presentation.
Well, of course it was.
But more a discussion amongst respected peers. He's talked about this a lot. And this was a big conversation this offseason that he is going to stay in Portland. We'll see how it goes this year. Never say never, but that would have been something.
Oh, if Dame was with the Lakers,
yeah.
They're the best team in the league. There's no question, because that's what they miss. They need a guy that can hit the three. And again, he's the opposite. Every time he plays Westbrook, you know, I love all these fanboys. Dame's better than Westbrook. It's not close. It's not, really. In today's modern NBA, Dame and Steph are the two guys in the league, and Durant,
yeah, I mean,
three.
Dame isn't a different...
He's a different player than Westbrook. The game has moved right into Dame's style. It's moved away from Westbrook. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
FahertyBrand.com/herd, 20% off. Great clothes, relaxed chinos, sweatshirts. FahertyBrand.com/herd. Wear them every day. Feel your best with M Drive. Want to lose weight? It's called M Drive Lean Protein Powder. Leans you up. So we didn't really talk about this much today. Is the Deshaun Watson circus for Miami has been, I imagine, not easy for Tua to deal with. Obviously, it's not easy. But I will say this, that most great quarterbacks in the NFL have a chip on their shoulder. Tom Brady couldn't start at Michigan, and Aaron Rodgers had to go to a junior college, and Big Ben was only recruited by Miami of Ohio, not Ohio State. And yeah, I mean, there's a chip on the shoulder because it's hard to play quarterback. And one of my knocks on Tua was not only health, but in Hawaii, he played in the biggest, best high school football team, and he had the better players around him. Then he goes to Alabama, he's got the best coach and the best players around him, and it's been the first time, and he doesn't have the best players around him. And then he acknowledges, I didn't know the playbook, and then the teammates don't vote him captain. There's been some things here beyond his lack of size that do concern me. My takeaway in the circus in Miami, it's been a circus as long as Stephen Ross has been there, and they kind of butchered this. It got way too public. But does this engineer a chip that he probably needs? I've always been really worried. I liked him out of college, and then as we got closer and closer and closer, and I started seeing all the footage and started reading things, I thought, this isn't going to work. There's no special. And I know Miami fans give Joy a lot of heat on this. And Miami fans, you know, you want to think that everybody's picking on you, but I'm going to tell you something, Miami fans. Greg Cosell knows more than you by a lot, and he watches film. And Greg Cosell said something earlier today on Tua, and this is a fact from somebody who's watched film and every quarterback who's played for 42 years, and here are the facts, and you're going to have to come to terms with this, because even though Tua is your quarterback the rest of the way, he's not special, and here's Greg Cosell.
We know that they don't believe Tua is the quarterback, and the tape tells you that. But, you know, Tua is he's a beat slow with his elimination and isolation. He's not a high-level anticipator. He does not really have a lot of arm strength. So he's a struggling quarterback that two different coordinators last year and this year, they've seen what he is, and they try to work around it, but you can only work around it so much.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes is amazing. He's struggling now. Brady's the best ever. He struggled last weekend. It's hard. This is hard. So when you're Tua and you're a little small and don't have arm strength and you don't move well, it ain't it, as the kids say. It's not it. It's not working. Now, the Dolphins make it worse? Yeah. Is the offensive line awful? Yeah. I'm not saying it's all on Tua, but if the newspaper articles are getting in your head, you're not built for the league. This league is hard. It's hard for Mahomes now. It was hard for a year and a half with Josh Allen. I mean, it's hard for – or you can go back on YouTube and look at some of the hits that Joe Montana took in the 80s where they're driving him into the ground. Terry Bradshaw's as big as a house. There's footage on the internet of Terry Bradshaw, 6'4", 230, just being grabbed and driven into the turf. Like, the league's gotten easier for quarterbacks. There's no question because of the rule changes. But like Greg Cosell is telling you, they want this to work. Miami, they drafted him in the top 10. Burrow looks great. Justin Herbert looks great. It makes Miami look foolish that Tua can't play a lick. But I'm here to tell you, he can't really play a lick. And Greg Cosell is telling you. So I know fans don't want to be proven wrong, and they're more concerned about being right than getting it right. But when Cosell comes out and says that, boy, Greg doesn't have anything here. He's got nothing to win except here's the tape and here's what the tape says. Now, that doesn't mean Tua can't win games. Tim Tebow won 7 straight. Nobody's saying you can't win games. Last year, the special teams in defense were insane. Every fumble ended up in the hands of a Dolphin. But this team wants this to work, and it's not. And you just got to own it sometimes. They drafted the wrong guy. The key is don't double down on it and get it solved and go into the market. Don't pay Tua and go get somebody. Go get somebody the second the season ends. All right, we're gone for today. We will see you tomorrow. Speak for yourself. Right Around the Corner is next.